We'll make a start, folks. It's good to have each one here tonight, and we're going to sing 406, more about Jesus. No, O Pilgrim Bound for the Heavenly Land. Let me just see this here. 438. I have my book open at the one we're going to sing later. 438. O Pilgrim Bound for the Heavenly Land, never lose sight of Jesus. He'll lead you gently with loving hand, never lose sight of Jesus. Facility just yet, so I do have to glance behind me. We have two in hospital that we are remembering particularly, and that is Dorothy McGugan, Ruth's mother, and Lewis McCauley, Jonathan, Ruth's son. So the two of the family in hospital at one time. This has been a trying week. We're glad to be able to report tonight that there are improvements, and especially with Lewis. Lewis went in on Monday, and he has been treated all week with suspected meningitis, and that recovery has been very, very quick over this week, so much so that the consultant has said today that he may go out tomorrow. So that's really good news. And Mum is also improving. They're still doing a few wee examinations and tests. So we want to remember them folks in prayer. We also want to remember Horace Strong, should be a knee in the name there, and his family. We've been remembering Barbara, the son of Grace, and she has passed away on to be with the Lord, which is far better But family are left, and there's a void, there's a vacancy. We want to think of this family, particularly. The funeral is tomorrow. She will be buried in a family grave at Finnboy Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock. The service is there. There will be a wee family service at 1 o'clock at the home prior to that. So, with these things in mind and the situation in Afghanistan, these bombs have gone off. They reckon there could be upwards of 100 people that have been killed. We just heard before coming to the meeting that there are 11 United States servicemen who have been killed, and one medic all belonging to that country. So our thoughts have been very much with the situation there, especially the Christian church. And we want to pray tonight as we commit our way to the Lord. Father, we think of the exhortation of your word to be still and know that I am God. And as we come here tonight, we want just at the beginning to still our hearts, quieten ourselves down before thee, and to recognize what your word tells us here, that thou art God. And Lord, that means that thou art sovereign and supreme. You're on the throne. You rule in the affairs of men. You rule in our affairs on earth. Nothing happens for chance, and certainly nothing happens out of the view of God. And Lord, thou dost know every minute detail in the universe. You know every little thing in this earth. And you certainly know all about our circumstances and what we pass through day by day, moment by moment. The eye of the Lord is upon the righteous, and his ear is open unto their cry. That gives us confidence as we pray just now to know that thine eye is upon us and thine ear is towards us to listen. We come through our mediator. We have no other means to come. We have no other name to plead. We can say with the hymn writer, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And it is the cross that is all our plea, the merit of Christ and what he has accomplished. And so hear us tonight for the sake of the Savior. We pray that you will look upon the man of thy right hand and for Jesus' sake answer our prayers. Help us to keep our eyes upon him in all the circumstances of life. We think of the hymn that we've just sung that says, never lose sight of Jesus. And Lord, we want our eyes fixed on him. Whether it's something personal that we're going through, something in the family, the church family, something in the community, in life generally, or these awful things that we see happening in the world around us, atrocities, killings, invasions. May we never lose sight of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be focused in these days. May we be cheered along the path as we run the race for God. We pray that you will settle our minds and hearts down into your presence now. Bless every part of the service. Remember those tonight who mourn. We think of Horace and his family. We pray that you will draw graciously near to them in their time of sorrow. Pray for the sick too, and Lord, you know the many that are upon our minds and hearts in these days, and especially the two in hospital just now. We commit our sister Dorothy to thee again, and we pray that you'll continue to perfect that which concerns her. Be pleased, Lord, to mend the body, to raise her up to health and strength. Thank thee for the improvement with Lewis over this week. We know how very ill he was at the beginning, and yet, Lord, you've answered prayer. You've stepped into the situation. You've turned it around for your own glory. And we thank thee for the peace that you've given to Lewis and carrying him through day by day, hour by hour. Bless him and bless his family. We just cast our care upon the Savior now, who cares for us. And so be with us, Lord. Be very much part of what happens here tonight. We will hear a report on our sunbeams, and Lord, we pray for Julie as she brings that report, that you will help her, that you will fill her with Oh, the needed grace that she desires tonight. We know that she desires that. And bless the congregation for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We welcome you to the midweek service, and those that are able to tune in and be part of the service tonight on the internet, welcome also to you. Tomorrow is the funeral service of Barbara. We've mentioned that at Finboy Presbyterian Graveyard at 2 o'clock, with a family service at the home beforehand. Tomorrow is the youth fellowship. There's a barbecue at the manse, and it's a fellowship time, 6:30. And remember also the open air that is taking place in the car park of Coleraine, and Greg, as he preaches the word at the open air. The Lord's Day has our prayer meeting at 8 o'clock by Zoom. Worship service, 12 noon. The open air, the final one for August, on the Sunday afternoon, 3:30, going out to Ballinamore. And then a special testimony, Darren Bailey from Portobogie. And our sister Daphne Coffey will be here to do that testimony with him. As we explained on the Lord's Day, Darren is not able to speak, but he does have a testimony. He is saved, and it's a story worth hearing. I'll bring a little message also on the Sabbath night. Do remember the prayer meeting, 5:30 on Zoom. Thank you again for your tithes and offerings and for your missionary giving. I want to thank you sincerely for these things. We've received generous donations. We don't always mention the figure publicly these days, but we are grateful to all who have contributed. I want you to continue to pray. Now this week the roof is going on to the school out there in Pakistan. So progress is being made, and we're very thankful about that. The Pankhurst getting these young people together. I'll be able to show you some slides that come through this evening of literature that has been purchased in the local language so that these young people can learn the doctrines of grace. And these, again, were photographs that come through of the Orphan Project in India. They just came through this week. So this pallet of shoes has been shipped today. It's gone. And an additional pallet will be shipped next week. You should be able to see something here. This will let you know how it was all put together. And my assistants, who are here tonight. Well, you see, Susie just wasn't so big an assistant. Any space getting clothes and all packed in the top of the shoes. More assistance. So we want to thank those that helped in any way. There's about 600 pairs of shoes have gone out today to Romania and other things. There's another pallet just almost ready for next week. And very thankful to those who have helped with this project as well. 391. To Jesus every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the golden purple dawn. We'll sing this hymn together. Let's stand and sing.
To Jesus every day my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the golden purple dawn. He's all the fancy picture in his fairest dreams and more. He's changed you so sweeter than he was the day before.
Just give us a wee update report, and she's willing to do that. So we're going to loose her and let her go. Oh, you need the clicker.
Talking to children, I may forget myself, so if I see anybody fidgeting, I might just name you until you said a piece. Right, if I hear any fizzling. Right, so I'm going to give you a wee report on Sunbeams, what we've done this past year, what we're going to do, or what we're planning to do coming up. But before I say a word, I want to read you something. I want to read you from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 and 7. This is my motto for Sundays. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And you shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is what we do in Sunbeams. We talk about God from we come into school until we leave school. I just think it is so important, and we bring God into every situation. If somebody falls and trips, we ask them that God will make it better. We pray together, so we teach the children how to pray every day. First thing I do every morning is I ask God to come to school with me. So God comes into school every morning with me. And he travels with me in the car, and we have never had a child hurt themselves. Everything falls into place. It's been so good. During COVID and everything, when other schools were closed, and we were able to keep our school open. I was working for essential workers. Now, we hadn't very many helpers in at the time, because it was just me at times, and there was seven kids, and it was tough enough going, but God got us past it. So in the sunbeams, as I was telling you about COVID, there towards the end of it, I was glad to have Geraldine and Keziah and Olivia in helping me. I couldn't have done it without them. It was really great. So we educate the children, as you know. We do their ABCs, their numbers. We teach them about everything they have to know. And when we go out for outside walks, we tell them that we always bring God into whatever we're talking about. And we're talking about things in nature. We ask them who did it. We talk about God when we're playing. We talk about God whenever somebody falls. We talk about God. We bring God into every situation. Right? And then once a month, I make out one of these here for the children to take home. It's to let the parents know what all we're doing in school, things that we're going to learn about, and the wee courses. They usually learn a few courses every month. I like to stick with the same course for a month to really get it into their head. And I even write the words of courses out for their mummies and daddies to see. And then there will be nursery rhymes, all these things. And top of the list, we will be taught how to pray every day and how to thank God before our snacks. Right, so now that's that wee bit out of the way. This is what we do in Sunbeams. Now, it's been a long time since Sunbeams has been tidied up. And there's been a lot of work needed to be done. Now, I've been doing bits and pieces. I went in last year and I painted everything that stood still. I painted doors, even painted Mr. Park's fence. I thought it belonged to the school, and I painted it green until he came out and told me that was a fence. I painted it green. So I painted everything, but I thought, well, I couldn't really climb up on the roofs. So we've had a great team in this past week. I don't want to leave anybody out, but this is what our roofs were like. The thing about this is this was causing maybe damp in the school. So that there needed all to be cleaned down. And we had some grass growing out of our spoutings. That was all cleaned up. So there's John up a ladder there, reaching across doing that there, with Mervyn in, power wash in the wee park. That's getting all the roofs done. You see some of these toys here? These toys were donated by Shem, Ham and Japheth. And we've got these walls all painted. So some of these toys that's been here, they're older than me. No, they're not just, but they are. But they were falling apart. That's them still cleaning the roof. Up there, we just had a great week of cleaning it up. Now this is a look at the difference in that there. That was my attempt at a rainbow. It didn't come up. You don't really see the colours of that rainbow there, but this is it all whitewashed. We got it all painted today. I think it was that John and Irwin was in painting that today. And look at the roof now and the spoutings. It's all spotless. We're getting new black rubber stuff. What's it called, Hugh?
Rubber chippings.
We're getting rubber chippings putting down here, because wait a second, there's a wee picture here of the bark. Oh, get away from that. Look, there was both there. This here was our sand pit. We Irwin weeded all the sand pit, and that was just me raking it up the other night. Right? And Irwin, look, this is before and after. Our weeds were growing up here. Weeds were growing everywhere. And now, whenever the kids were out playing there during the year, it wasn't as bad as that, but whenever the kids went, these here, weeds just seemed to sprout up them. Because the children weren't on the playground, the weeds just went mad. They've been everywhere. So and then last year I maybe sprayed them, but this year Irwin went in and hand picked them all. I think there's not one in sight. So it means they can go up down that there and the wee tractor's better. This is the bark that was starting to spread and get very, very thin. And then if you got a windy night at all, it all gathered in the corners of the spoutings. And then I was hooking it out with the brush every Wednesday, and then it was all back in again by Friday. Okay. This is all our great helpers in. Lifting all this old bark so we can put this new stuff down. Right, we're going to get these beams here and all painted. These beams need to be freshened up and painted. I painted those last year. I think it was painting masonry paint on top of wood and stuff, and I was putting wood paint on top of masonry stuff so it's all come off. Right, that's all going to be done properly. What else there? There's one of our seesaws.
Although the kids still loved that, it was very rusty and creaky, and it was just dangerous. These are some of the toys that we had that Shem and Ham played with. There, and there's your tractors. Yes, I think that was Noah's tractor there in the way. And this is them all gathered together. And this is a few of our doors in the playground.
Right, so we're getting new doors, we're getting those replaced. Yes, they were starting to go a wee bit. Right, but this is our walls all being painted. Look at the difference in that now. No weeds, it's lovely. Clean, it's lovely. A wee blackboard, they put that wee blackboard up last year. Ryan got the wood for that wee blackboard. Hugh made the frame for it, and the kids love that wee blackboard. I like to keep them outside as much as possible to exhaust them. Because it means then whenever I bring them in for morning worship, they just sit there and stare at me. Whereas if I don't let them get that energy out of them, then they're fidgety and they want to crawl in below chairs and things. So I like to get them outside as much as possible, at least once a day. Regardless of the weather, they don't care what the weather's like. So I love having them outside. I'm an outdoorsy person, so I like them to be outdoorsy people too. Look, this is a wee new tractor we got this last week. We just love that. I had a few of them this year coming in. I did a wee induction day. Did a wee induction day there past on Monday. I had one wee girl and five boys, but I think there's a wee boy now starting again next week. So I have one wee girl and six boys, but they were so good. They really were so good. I prayed so hard for weeks before. I don't believe in asking God for something the night before. I asked months ahead. Like, I'm even praying now for my grandchildren's future husbands. They're only 11. So I've been praying for a long time for these children in this induction class. I've been praying that the children would walk away from their parents nice and calm, and it keeps their parents calm, and it keeps me calm, and everything was good because I had so many anxious parents. And it was so, they were like lambs. They just came to me with a great wee morning. So we had one boy, one girl, and five wee boys. And we had them out playing in these wee things. Well, something else I wanted to tell you. Yes, come January, I intend only to speak for 5 or 10 minutes, but if somebody can give me a wee nod at 10 to 9 if I'm still here. Come January, we're going to have one more girl and two more boys. So then by the end of January, we will have 2 girls and 8 boys. Right, and maybe April, we might have a wee one coming in April. I don't know if we Eloise will be able to come in April or not. So if she comes in April, we'll have 11. Really, we only have 2 workers, myself and who will we have on a Monday? It'll be Geraldine, and on Tuesday we'll have Chevron, and on Wednesday it will be Olivia. So because there's only 2 of us, really 11, 12 would be our limit at the minute. Just so you can keep an eye on them, because you need eyes in the back of your head, right? Shame Ham Jeffles done that there. No, that's new. This is another wee new dumper truck. They loved that. We've got all these things. I think we've got, I don't know if it shows you all, but we've got at least 4 or 5 wee new bikes. At 3, they're not really great on tricycles, so we got them these wee bikes without the pedals, and these wee scooters, these are some of the things, and we got this wee net put up, this wee basketball net, just up at their height. They'll love that. I can't wait to see their wee faces when we come in and see that there next week. Right, this is the wee mud kitchen we got built last year. I think Paul McCauley built this for us last year. It's fantastic. They love coming out here and making a mess, and I love helping them to make a mess. And then I will tidy it up, then after we come, it's always tidy up. Now, I painted one of those. Ta-da! I painted that, right? I still have the other one to do, but I was in the other day, and I took my grandchildren in with me painting it, and they were losing patience with me, so I hadn't time to paint the other one. Right, this is a new oil tank we're getting outside the school. That was Ryan's doing all this work here. He's putting the fence all up behind it. So a nice new oil tank. And this is Goliath, who watches us when we're doing our morning worship. I put up that wee screen this year just to help wee visuals for their nursery rhymes or some wee Bible stories. Whenever they see it on a screen, they just take it all in, so much more than maybe me just telling them it. There are commandments. I must say, those wee children, the difference in those children in a year is unbelievable. When they come in, they're like babies. But whenever they leave, those children left, and they can say their 10 commandments. They know what order they're in. And if I said to them, what's number 3? They know the 3rd one. They can tell you, but they have a way of learning whenever I put the fingers up. And I'm that scared of them forgetting it. Well, I always ask God that they won't forget it. But I had a wee one. Some of them still likes to come to see me at the house. So I had a wee one come to me at the house and yesterday morning at 10 o'clock, and she stayed until 6, because I had my grandchildren yesterday, so she stayed all day. And I was saying to her, well, don't you tell Darcy and Isla what the commandment says? You tell them, can you still remember them? Francis was thinking, oh, please don't let them have forgotten them. And she remembered every one of them. And she's only 3. And she knew the order of them, everything. We go over them every day. I'll maybe learn them the first 2 commandments, and I'll work on that for maybe a month, and then we'll do the next 2. By the end of the year, they know them all. And they know how to pray. I've had great reports from mummies and daddies saying that they couldn't believe how their children could pray when they're so young. I just think that's so important. Their numbers and their shapes and their colours, all those things is important. But to me, they've got 15 years of learning about numbers and shapes. Sure, they've got all the time in the world to learn about all these things. Well, some of these children, this might be the only time we'll get to hear about God and how great he is and what he does for them. And he keeps their wee hearts beating, and I tell them how he gives them muscles to run and all the things that they have that comes from him. So that's our final wee... Oh, there's our wee commandments there. Look, we've got wee one there to go over, and we've got school rules and this rules. So all in all, Sunbeams is amazing. If somebody would have told me I'd have said that 3 or 4 years ago and that I was going to be doing it, I'd have run for the hills. But definitely not. It's just obviously God knows better than I do, and he's put me there for a reason. So I'll just leave that with you, right? Because we could do a wee new slide, we could do a few more wee things and a few wee tractors, because there's going to be, did I say 8 wee boys by the end of the year? I can't remember. There's going to be 8 wee boys. We can't have them all fighting over 2 tractors, and they all want tractors. They love filling those dumpers up with sand from that sand pit. I don't think there's anything else to tell you. It's a great work, and it is a privilege to be able to teach children and knowing they're going home and telling their parents. The reports that I get back is really encouraging, and it's all good. Okay, thank you very much for your time. I didn't get emotional once.
Thank you, Julie. I think they would all love to be back at that age again, just coming in with all those facilities. And we do appreciate the hard work that you do and the helpers that come in to assist you. That wee mud table, you painted it. Did you use masonry paint?
No, I used material this time.
Okay. You had some advice? Some good. Yeah. Very good. Well, may the Lord bless the ministry of our Sunbeams. And you know the offering tonight will go to it. So... I want to read a short portion of scripture with you, Hebrews 12. And the opening 3 verses, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We'll have a wee word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for the ministry of our school and for the early start that these little ones receive when they come, not only to learn their numbers and those little parts of education that will help them graduate into primary school, but more importantly to learn your word, to be able to take home verses that they've learned, the commandments of God, to have them inscribed in their minds and hearts while they're so young. We pray that you'll bless Julie and bless the others that come to help. We just commit our Christian school and Sunbeams into your care. In these minutes in the Word, we pray that you will direct our way, bless us as we have a little meditation now about the things of God. Prepare us for the season of prayer. Pour out the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we want to think about verse 2. I'm taking for our subject tonight, just for a little while, the principal gaze of the Christian. And we have it here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we ask the question tonight, where is your gaze? Where is your main focus? What is the most important sight that you have your heart set upon? Now, for some, it's undoubtedly worldly things or earthly things, possessions, making money, sport, hobbies, leisure time, business ventures and opportunities, a lucrative career. For others, it is health. And maybe you're like that tonight. You're consumed with the physical man. You watch your diet. You give your body exercise. You're maybe someone that goes to the gym. You spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. Now, there's nothing wrong, per se, with looking after the physical man. In fact, we have a duty before God to care for these bodies of ours, and the Scripture would lend its weight to that. But is it your chief focus? And then for some, it's their family. Their chief concern is getting their children fed, clothed, educated, settled in life. That might be into marriage or into a job. And no doubt there's a place for this. We have, again, responsibilities, especially in the spiritual teaching of our children, to train them up, as was read tonight from Deuteronomy 6, in the ways of God. However, for the Christian, there is a focus that should outweigh every other focus. And there is a view that ought to consume us more than any other. And there is a gaze that ought to be preeminent in our lives, and it's the one that is highlighted here by Paul in this text of Scripture, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul has just catalogued the great heroes of faith from the Old Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, men who walked by faith in the old world, and as a result they knew the blessing of God resting upon their lives. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, etc. 16 individuals are singled out for commendation. And then we have, in a more generic term, the prophets. And that's a general reference to the prophets of God that lived in the Old Testament by faith. In fact, chapter 12 and verse 1 that we looked at there in our reading, we're told that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And the Greek word that is used for cloud here was a figure of speech indicating a large crowd. And that's the picture here. We are surrounded by these champions, champions of faith, as spectators, as it were, from heaven, cheering us on as we run the race. And this may indicate, I'm not saying this for certain tonight, but it just may indicate that the redeemed are able to observe some things that are happening on the earth. Sometimes wonder about that, what the believers in glory are permitted by the Lord to see on earth, but there is this great cloud of witnesses, this great company of people, these champions of faith, and they're watching on. And so chapter 12 thus begins with wherefore? Because of these outstanding examples of faith from the old economy, who walked with God, who lived by faith in their day, the apostle Paul calls upon Christians in the New Testament to do likewise. And a principal part of this life of faith centers upon you and I having a right focus. Just look at those opening verses again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The illustration is that of the sprinter. And Paul borrows this analogy from the early Olympic Games to teach us something that's very vital about the Christian life. We are in a race. We are running for God. The course is our lifetime and the finish is heaven. In order to run this race properly and successfully, two things are of major importance. Number one, we must lay aside sin. Just as the athlete lays aside the outer cumbersome garments that they might run more easily. And that is so. You don't run with an overcoat on. You never see a sprinter dressed like that. You don't have any kind of cumbersome garments on. No, they are laid aside to run the race. And just as the sprinter does that, you and I as Christians, we are to lay aside our sin, the sin which doth so easily beset us. We have to have done with our sin. And then the second thing is, we must look unto Jesus. We must get our eye fixed upon the leader and the commander, just as the athlete did as he ran the race. There was a sponsor, there was a leader, there was a commander, and the athlete kept his eye upon him and ran the race, looking to him, not at those around him, not at those behind him, not even at those in front of him, but the commander. And we are to get our eyes principally upon Christ. This is the principal gaze of the Christian, our chief focus. Christ is to be the single object of our attention in the Christian life. So just a few questions before we come to pray tonight. First of all, who is our gaze upon? Well, we've said it's Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, it's Christ, our blessed Lord and Master and Savior. He is the one that ought to be the chiefest of 10,000 to our souls, the bright and the morning star, the lily of the valley, indeed the altogether lovely one. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending of all things. He's the first and the last. He is the one who wept and prayed when he was here upon the earth. He is the one who suffered and died, the one that took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. Oh, dear Christian, get your focus right upon Christ. Look to him every day, as often and as constantly as possible. See him, who is the prophet and the priest and the king of his people. See him sitting in majestic splendor upon his dazzling throne in heaven, risen, ascended, seated on high, the blessed Redeemer of our immortal souls. There he is at the right hand of God, pleading our cause, watching over us in this world, looking unto Jesus. But secondly, what are we particularly gazing at? As I thought of this, looking unto Jesus, as I thought of the one there in glory, the one that we are to gaze upon, I just thought to myself, who are we looking at and what are we particularly looking at? Well, we're looking at the suffering Savior. As we look to Christ, you never want to forget the cross. You never want to forget all that he came to do for you and I that are saved. Christ has offered the once and for all sacrifice for our sin. And as we look to Christ, we're looking at the suffering Saviour. Remember the blood that he shed and the suffering that he went through for you and I. We're also looking at the sympathizing supplicant. He's the mediator who prays for us. We have a man in the glory who is acquainted with all our ways. A great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. And as we get our eyes upon Christ, remember he's there as our interceder, the one who supplicates at the right hand of the Father on our behalf, our great heavenly high priest. As we look unto Jesus, not only are we to gaze upon the suffering Saviour and the sympathizing supplicant, but he is the supreme sovereign. We need to see Christ as the King. He rules on high as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He possesses all power and authority. He is in absolute control of everything in our lives, of everything in this world. He speaks and it's done, and he commands and it stands fast. But then thirdly, how are we to gaze upon him? And I think it's all there in the word looking. This word that is employed by the apostle is a very interesting word. It's a word that implies a definite looking away from other things so that we might fix them upon Christ. It's so easy to get caught up with the other things. Experiences that become the focal point in our lives, and we look at them intently, continually, earnestly, affectionately, chiefly. And of course, some of these things are a big part of our lives, and they are constantly before our attention, and very often they are legitimate things, family, business, our interests. But there is a sense in which we must look away from these things, all other things. Treat them as secondary matters so that our principal gaze is upon Christ. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus. Spurgeon said, the Greek word for looking is a much fuller word than we can find in the English language. It has a preposition in it which turns the look away from everything else. You are to look from all beside to Jesus. Fix not thy gaze upon the cloud of witnesses. They will hinder thee if they take away thine eye from Jesus. Look not on the weights and the besetting sin. These thou hast laid aside. Look away from them. Do not even look upon the race course or the competitors, but look to Jesus, and so start in the race. Oh, may we have such a look, dear brethren and sisters, that causes us to look away from all else that we might fix our gaze upon Christ. And then just fourthly, where do we gaze upon Christ? If we're to look to him, where do we see him? Principally in his word. This is where we find him. We're not going to look at him physically. He's not going to appear to us in a physical sense. Some people have claimed that Jesus appeared to them. Let me tell you, the next time that Jesus appears in this world is at his glorious second coming again. He's coming again, and every eye shall see him on that occasion. I must come to the book of God if I'm to see Christ, the written word. He's the living word, but the written word is going to reveal him. I gaze into the scriptures of truth, and here I find Christ the Redeemer. If I am to see him, to behold him in all his perfections, in all his splendor and glory, then I must come to this book. When the two travelers were on the road to Emmaus, you remember Jesus drew near and he went with them on the journey. You remember how he revealed himself showed himself. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. How did Jesus reveal himself to the two on the road to Emmaus? By the scriptures. And he began at Moses and the prophets, and he told them all about himself. Oh, get into the word if you are to see Christ. There is a lovely little book, some of you might have it, it's called Christ in All the Scriptures, written by A.W. Hodgkin. And I recommend that book to you. It sets forth how you see the Lord everywhere in the scriptures, in every book of the Bible. Spurgeon preached a great sermon, I was just looking at this today, entitled Seeing Jesus, from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse, or chapter 2 and verse 9. That little phrase he took as his text, we see Jesus. And he quoted these words at the end of his sermon. And I'm going to quote them to you now. We would see Jesus, but the shadows lengthen across this little landscape of our life. We would see Jesus, our weak faith to strengthen, for the last weariness, the final strife. We would see Jesus, the great rock foundation, where on our feet we're set by sovereign grace. Nor life nor death, with all their agitation, can thence remove us if we see his face. We would see Jesus, sense is all too blinding, and heaven appears too dim, too far away. We would see thee to gain a sweet reminding that thou hast promised our great debt to pay. We would see Jesus, this is all we're needing, strength, joy, and willingness come with the sight. We would see Jesus dying, risen, pleading, then welcome day and farewell mortal night. Oh, brethren and sisters, we would see Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we see him tonight. May we see him in the word here. May we see him as we pray. Get our gaze firmly upon him for Christ's sake. More about Jesus would I know. We sing it. Do we mean it? Do we pray it? Is that our desire tonight? May God help us to sing and to pray at the same time. More about Jesus. Tell me more about Jesus. Yes, stand soon. Oh. Yes, in a few minutes, our listeners on the internet will leave us and we'll get down to seeking the Lord tonight in prayer. As we do so, we're going to just sing that little chorus, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Full in His Wonderful Face. Things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." May the Lord help us to do that tonight. Turn our eyes upon Christ. So we'll sing this prayerfully to the Lord, and as soon as we sing this chorus, we're just going to immediately down to prayer.